Don't we have a great choir? I think they deserve a round of applause. I feel like we've already had church. We've had two beautiful choir specials, and anything we do from now is just downhill, so maybe we just need to end it here. Seriously, you guys have been a tremendous blessing, and that was beautiful, and you have put me in such a mood to just worship God this morning already, and I agree with George, that was the way to open a church service, and I just feel blessed to be here today, and I feel like God is here today, His presence is here today, and I feel it, and I hope you all feel it too. And I just want to take this opportunity to say, even though Ronnie isn't here, I think you all would agree with me that it's been such a blessing to all of us. It's been a blessing to this church to have him here. It's been a while since I've been up here in this pulpit. It's probably been a year and a half. It's been a while, and the reason is he's here. He's here, and every Sunday he comes up, and I just feel like, you know, some sermons you hear and you feel like you've had a lecture. You feel like you've been taught something, and that's all fine and good. But when he stands up here, I feel like he's just pouring his heart out. And he's given us something fresh each and every week. And it's something that he has struggled with or he has dealt with. And this is what God's word has said to me. This is how God has helped me through it. And it's something that we can take and we can apply. And we can apply to our own lives. And I just feel like we've been so blessed by him, and I hope he realizes how much of a blessing he has been to all of us. So I'm just going to say, next time you see him, I'm just going to just tell him what a blessing he's been, because I feel like he could stand to hear it. He needs to hear it, and we just need to tell him how we feel about him and how much we love him. This being Palm Sunday, those of you that are in my Sunday school class know how much I love the scripture that talks about the triumphal entry and the imagery all around that, the symbolism of Jesus riding into Jerusalem on that donkey. And to me, it just speaks so much. It's so powerful to me to consider those verses, thinking about him riding in, knowing what's going to happen at the end of the week, but still riding in, and all the people waving the palms and, you know, all the hosannas and all the excitement in the crowd and just everything around it. I love it. But that's not where God has led me this week. I feel more than ever, more than any other time I've ever stood up here, I feel like I've got the message that God wants me to deliver this week. And so it may not be the typical Palm Sunday message, but I think it does relate to Palm Sunday, because this is a holy week. This is a special week. And I think it's important as we go into this week to take time to stop and to pause and to reflect on who God is and what Christ did when he came down to this earth and he went through the events of that week and he died for us. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. Our key verse for today is from the book of Psalms. I've chosen Psalm 90:12, which reads, "Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. And that's one of the Psalms. If you don't know who wrote a Psalm, you can guess it's probably David. This one was actually written by Moses. Thousands of years ago, Moses wrote that. Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. So I'm going to stop right here and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for who you are, God. We thank you that you love us so much that you gave us your word, that we may use your word to study it, to apply it to our own lives, God, that we may see the way that you would have us to go. Now, Father, as we go forth in this service, I pray that you would help me, God, that you would help me to deliver the message that you have put on my heart this morning, that I would be able to get it across to your people in a way that they would be able to understand and apply. And where I fall short, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would would come in and make up the difference, that your Holy Spirit would minister this message to all of our hearts, that we'd be able to take it and apply it to our lives. Father, we love you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 90:12, Psalm 90:12 says that our days are numbered. And when you look at that realization, you may say, well, that sounds kind of depressing to tell somebody your days are numbered. And it can be depressing, but it can also be a blessing. I've heard numerous stories of people that have gotten sick and been told they only have so long to live and so forth, and actually say it's a blessing to know that, to come to that realization. And the reason for that is because it forces you to put things in perspective. It forces you to take a step back and to kind of reprioritize what's going on in your life. And that's what that verse says to me. It's about getting your priorities right. Now, we all know people who have made a mess of their lives because they don't have their priorities right. There's a lot of people in this world that have the wrong priorities, and as a result of that, they make bad decisions. They make bad choices because their priorities are wrong in the first place. So they make bad choices, bad decisions, and that leads to bad consequences. And they end up making a mess of their lives, and it's all because they didn't have their priorities right in the first place. And if we're honest, we all struggle to some degree or another. We all struggle with getting our priorities right, whether it's financially or whether it's just making bad decisions. We know some people have just made terrible decisions. Maybe they didn't select the right spouse or whatever it is. If you don't have your priorities right, you can make a mess of your life real quick. And to me, the area that I struggle with the most, I'm just going to be honest with you here, I'm being real, the area that I struggle with the most when it comes to priorities, and I've always fought with this, is how do I spend my time? How do I spend my time? That's really what it comes down to me. I've struggled with that for years. Back when I was in the Navy, I didn't have that problem because they told me how I was going to spend my time. I didn't have to think about it. But for the last 15 years, when I've had some say in the matter, I've struggled with it. How do I want to spend my time? How should I spend my time? And you think about, I brought this, I hope Amy doesn't mind. I brought our calendar. Now, I don't know if you all can see the writing on this calendar. This is March. Just about every day, almost every single day, has something written on this calendar. I'll bet. Okay, there's February. Anybody have a calendar that looks like that? Every day. I'm speaking to you this morning. You know what I'm talking about. People... We live in a day and time, excuse me, people are just busy. Who in here is not busy? So everybody's busy. And you know, you look at the things that we're busy with, none of it in and of itself seems that bad. Sometimes we're busy because we have to work late. Sometimes we're busy because we're in school. You know, people go back to school and they try to earn an extra degree, and that's fine, but it makes us busy. Some of us got to get out and take care of the yard or any number of things. Our kids have extracurricular activities, scouts and dance. A lot of you can relate to that. Or maybe it's a work social, or maybe it's a church function, or maybe it's a holiday party or Christmas party, or, you know, it goes on and on and on, but you stop and you look at your calendar and you add all that up. And the end result is there's not enough time. There's not enough time to do everything that you want to do. And so something ends up getting squeezed out. It always happens. You fill up your calendar with stuff and you don't get to everything, and something gets squeezed out. And I have fought with that, and I've fought with that for years. I have fought with that. Being busy and things get squeezed out. And you know what? When you stay busy, and I've learned, a lot of you know, I just had a birthday. And as a friend of mine put it, happy milestone birthday. James, is the way he put it. And when you have one of those milestone birthdays, you kind of stop and you think about things a little bit. And so what I've realized is with being busy all the time, time starts to go by. It starts to move by, and you don't even realize how fast it's moving. You don't notice these things day to day, but then before you know it, a year's gone, like that. I cannot believe I have been married 20 years already, like that. Or that our kids are half grown already. I swear it was just yesterday, I would come home from work and we'd have a little boy that would say, "Daddy, play with me." And that's gone. You hear Ronnie up here talking about seasons, and he talks about, you know, God moves in seasons and we have seasons to our lives. And that's how it is when, you know, you look back at a year, or you look back 5 years, or you look back 10 years, and you start to see different chapters of your life. And you see, maybe one chapter has closed and another chapter has opened. But if you're not careful and you're not paying attention, you've moved from one chapter to the next and you didn't even realize it at the time. Things just change over time. And if you're not busy, you don't even see it coming. You know, when I was back in high school, I could not wait until graduation day. Probably everybody in here can relate to that. Could not wait. You knew that day was coming. You knew that a chapter was going to close and that another one was going to open. It was the same thing when I was in the military. I could count down to the day I was going to get discharged. 2 years out, I could count down. People would say, you know, how long you been in? I would say, I've been in 4 years, but I'm going to be out in 22 and a half months. I knew when that day was coming. But there are other endings to chapters or to seasons in your life that come much more unexpectedly and in a much more subtle way. Ones that kind of slip up on you. And going back to thinking about, you know, when Jamie was much smaller and he would always ask me to come home and play with him, well, that one was very subtle. The end of that was very subtle, and I didn't even see it coming. And now he is about to turn 12 years old. He's going to be a teenager soon. It just like that, if you're not paying attention. Sometimes they're unexpected and they're very abrupt, but they're unexpected. So my point that I'm trying to get at here is, you know, people say that, you know, we have eternity. As Christians, we all know that we're going to spend eternity with God in heaven. We all know that. We're going to have eternity with God. But I don't have that long on this side of heaven. 5 years goes by, 10 years goes by. It all goes by so fast. And so I have to ask myself, if I only have that much time. You know, the Bible says that your life is like a vapor and you only have a few days. And I know I'm not old, but I'm old enough. I can sense the movement of time. And I know you all know what I'm talking about. You can sense how fast time moves. So I have to ask myself, how do I want to spend my time? Because I don't want to look back and regret not spending it the best way and the most wisest way I possibly could. Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. And that has led me to, I want to read some scripture for you. And this is from Luke chapter 10. If you want to turn there in your Bible, Luke chapter 10, and I'm going to read starting in verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. And this is the account of Martha and Mary. I'm going to read it for you from the NIV. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, you do not care that my sister has left me to serve alone. Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is important. Mary has chosen the better thing, and it will never be taken away from her." Now, I look at that, and, you know, what I see in my head is that Martha's doing all the work. Martha knows that some company has come, and she's doing the things that need to get done, because some things need to get done. And she's looking at her sister. I see this in my head. Mary is kind of lounging around. Now, can you understand why Martha might be a little upset? I can sympathize with Martha because she's doing all the work. Now, if you're doing all the work and your spouse or whoever's sitting around, what are you going to say? And so she gets a little upset and she's, "Lord, tell her to get up and do something. Do something." And then Jesus turns around and says, "Well, she's doing what's important." And I kind of see Martha might be a little bit taken back by that. But I think it's worth studying that and trying to understand what Jesus is saying there. And I think what he's saying there is we need to learn how to establish some priorities. We need to refocus and figure out what our priorities are. And to me, this comes down to we have the urgent things, which is what Martha was doing. All the things that have to get done, they have to get done. They're urgent. But then there's the important things. And that's what Mary was doing. And we have to make a distinction between the two. We have the urgent and we have the important. And the challenge is, my challenge has been, and probably all of you can relate, is not letting the urgent get in the way of the important. Not letting the urgent get in the way of the important. Mary wasn't being lazy. I mean, she was sitting there. Yeah, she was sitting there. But she knew what she was doing. She was sitting there paying attention to Jesus. She was doing that which was important. Now, what's the difference and how do I make a distinction between the difference? Here's the trap. Let me take a step back and tell you the trap that I fall in. I know, and again, I'm just being real with you today. I'm just being as honest as I can. I know it's important to spend time with my kids. I know that. And I want to do that. I also know it's urgent that I get outside and cut my grass. I know that it's urgent that I am attentive to my job. It's urgent that I be the best leader I can be in Scouts. There's any number of urgent things, and I can do an urgent thing one day after the next, and before I know it, a week has gone by, and I haven't done a thing in the world that's important. That's the trap. And I've fallen in that trap so many times. I read a quote, and I want to share it with you, by Rick Warren. You all know who Rick Warren is. He said, "Living in light of eternity changes your priorities." Living in light of eternity changes your priorities. And what that means is there are some things that have eternal consequence. There are some things that you do that have eternal consequence. When you spend time with a loved one, when you care for somebody, when you do something in service to somebody, that has eternal consequence. A lot of the things we do, not that they don't matter, but a lot of the urgent things, a lot of things we do, they're urgent because they have to get done. They don't have eternal consequence. They have consequence for the here and now, sure. My neighbor's going to get mad at me if I don't cut my grass. But they don't have eternal consequence. You see what I'm saying here? There's a difference between the two. And that's how we make a distinction. What's urgent and what's important? And it's always so easy to do the urgent because it's got to get done. That's why it's urgent. But be careful that you don't let the urgent get in the way of the important. Don't let it drown it out. Our priorities determine how we spend our time. Our priorities determine how we spend our time, or should. And so I have to ask myself, what is my priority? What are my priorities? What's important to me? What matters to me? And I'll tell you what matters to me. Some of the things that matter to me. I want my kids. You know, everybody says they want their kids to grow up to be successful. They want them to have things, all this stuff. And I do want that for our kids. But I also want our kids to grow up to be people of integrity and honesty. And I want them to know what hard work is. And I want them to understand responsibility. I want them to have God in their lives. These aren't things that are easy to teach. It takes an investment of time to be able to instill these things in your kids, but it's easy not to do that when you've got a lot of urgent things in your way. But those are important to me. My relationship with my wife is important to me. I want her, she's my best friend in the world, and I want her to feel like she's loved and appreciated because she is, but if I don't invest time in that relationship, she's not going to know that. My relationship with God is important to me. But let's be real. When you're really busy and you got a lot to do, it's easy not to pick up the Bible that day. It's easy to say, I'm going to let that go till tomorrow. It's easy to say, I don't have a whole lot of time to pray today, God. Isn't it? I mean, I'm just being honest. But what have we done? When we do that, we've let the urgent get in the way of the important. When I look back at all the lists that I formed and all the things that are important to me, you know, to me, it comes down to relationships. And I've come to realize that. What's important to me are my relationships with my family and with God. Those are the things that are most important to me in this world. And so I have to use that to help me differentiate between urgent and important. I use that knowledge to help me to make that distinction. And you know what? I'm not saying don't do things that are urgent because they have to be done. And this is a real challenge. What I'm telling you is be aware that there is a difference. And don't let the urgent completely drown out the important. Don't let it do that, because it's a trap. And that's a trap from Satan, I believe it, and it's easy to fall into it. Okay. Something in your life, you know, going back to the calendar, or look at your own calendar, look at all the things that compete for your time. Something in your life has got to be first. Something in your life has got to be the priority. The Bible says that you can't serve two masters because you'll love one and despise the other. So you have got to make up your own mind. What is it in my life that has priority? What is it that is most important? And make sure you invest time. Make sure you put time into that which is important to you. If you don't, you will look back in 10 years when it has slipped by and said, I didn't do a thing in the world that's important. I haven't done a thing in the world that matters. And none of us want that. I think the key here is we have to put God first. We have to put God first, because all these things, like the things that I mentioned here, relationships, the things that are important, the things that really matter, they're important to God. And if you put God first, He is going to make sure all these other priorities fall into place. Because when you put God first, the things that are important to Him are important to you. He wants you to spend time with your family. He wants you to do these things above all else. So we have to wake up every day. This is tough to do. Wake up every day. You might feel like you don't have a choice on how you're going to spend your time, but you do. You have a choice. Wake up and go, God, how do you want me to spend my time today? You know what's in front of me. You know what I've got on my plate. You know all the things that I think I've got to do, but God, what do you want me to do today? And whatever he tells you it is, do it. I had a verse of scripture here I wanted to read to you from Matthew chapter 6 and 33. It reads, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." And I truly believe, and I'm not saying I'm very good at this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, look at me. But I know what the Bible says. The Bible says if we make him first, then all of these other things are going to fall into place. He's going to give us everything we need. Teach us to number our days so that we may get a heart of wisdom. I don't mean that to be depressing. I mean that so that we can step back and just realize, I've only got so many days. I've only got so many days on this side of heaven, and I want them to matter. I want to do things with that time. I don't know how long I've got, but I want to do that which is important. I don't think I'm telling you all anything that you don't already know or haven't heard before. But I feel in my heart, I really feel strongly that sometimes you got to be reminded. And sometimes we're reminded by things that happen. Sometimes things happen to us that forces us to kind of step back and to refocus. A year ago, I would have never guessed that Amy and Melanie's dad wouldn't be with us. That wasn't even on the radar. We had no idea. I was looking back at a picture just last week of my family with her daddy and wife Gail in Cades Cove. We'd go to Cades Cove every summer around his birthday. Every summer we could. We went and we would celebrate his birthday at Cades Cove. Last year at this time, we were planning for that. It was going to happen in August. It's not going to happen this year. Things change. Sometimes you don't know what's coming. And I know it's been a rough year for a lot of folks. Sometimes things happen and we can't control that. But what we can control, sorry, I wasn't going to do that. What we can control is how we spend our time while we're here. I had some email correspondence with a gentleman a few weeks back. Actually got married in this church. I've never met him. Some of you may have met him. His name was Thomas Poole. He got married in this church in 1981, he said. And he had emailed me, found the church website, emailed me through the church website, asking some questions about Pastor Savage. Anyway, he shared with me, we exchanged a few emails, and he shared with me in one of those emails a poem that his mother, he found an old newspaper clipping in his mother's diary, and she has passed on, but he found this newspaper clipping in her diary, and it meant something to him, and I don't know why he shared this poem with me, but it has spoken to me too, and I've looked this poem up, and I found it online on a old newspaper clipping from a paper called Argus Eyes for Victory out of Ann Arbor, Michigan, 1942. It was during the war. And this is how it reads. I want to read it to you now. What difference will it make to me on the day I come to die that fortune never smiled on me, that fame passed me by. What a difference that another had, far more or less than I, it won't make any difference on the day I come to die. But what a difference it will make on the day I come to die, if I have kept the faith secure, my purpose true and high. So as each day breaks for me in the quiet eastern sky, let me live it as I shall wish I had on the day I come to die. Now I want you all to think about Jesus. I want you to think about him riding into Jerusalem, and he's on that donkey. He knew what was coming at him that week, didn't he? He knew, as the verse says, the scripture says, he knew his days were numbered. He knew that very well. His days are numbered. And all those people there shouting, Hosanna, and here comes their great king, and they were right, but boy, they had it wrong. They did not understand. But Jesus knew, and he knew his days were numbered. And what did he do? He did that which was important. And boy, was it important. It had eternal consequence, didn't it? And I think the best we can do, and I'm telling you this out of the bottom of my heart, I'm telling you, I feel this. All our days are numbered. We may not know when. None of us are promised tomorrow. But best we can do is do exactly what Jesus did. Do that which is important. Don't look back with regret. Today, tell somebody that you love them. Pick up a phone, call somebody. Just don't let the urgent drown out the important. Okay. And I'll close with that, and I'll ask Brother Jerry if you would close us in prayer, and we'll be dismissed.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you for the message that we have heard, that we have taken in, the wisdom that you would have us to hear this morning, Father. And help us realize as we walk out that door that we carry you with us. Father, and no more than it is at this special time of year, we realize that we are bought with price, Father. You created us in your own image. So as we leave this place, let us do the things that will reflect you, Father. For we know that whatever we do, whether it be a job, whether it to be extending a hand to someone in need, we need to do our very best, Father. We thank you for all that you do. We love you very much. In your name we pray.
Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you next week.